This is our weekly, monthly visit from Dr. Ulick, but Ulick has run a little bit behind this morning. I'm just going to rat you out, my friend, throw you slap under the bus. Doc, I'm glad you made it in, though.
Yes, thanks for having me back and not send me to the principal's office for being late.
Well, not yet. This one time, we'll let it slide. You weren't here over December. You were taking the holidays off, so I haven't seen you for a while, so I hope you had a good holiday and all that.
I did. I did. Happy New Year to everyone, and hope we have a better year this year than last year. There's some things that have already popped up this year. With the pandemic and the Omicron and all that. So yeah. I thought if anyone wants to call in and has got questions about the pandemic or COVID or anything else, like I said, I'll usually start a discussion, but if we get someone to call in,
sure,
we can talk about that topic also.
It doesn't have to be about COVID. It doesn't have to be about the flu. If you got a rash on the back of your ear that won't go away.
Yeah. Maybe or any Alabama fans out there?
Never mind. Yeah. But I think the last time you were here, the Omicron hadn't really taken full hold. But when it got going, it's been real quick. This has been the fastest spreading one, I guess, easiest to catch, although not as deadly.
Right.
But it's still no joke. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you, it's like anything else, Jesse. You know this as a police officer. You know, the more accidents you have, the higher the morbidity and mortality. So if you have 1 million people in accidents, so many people are going to die. If you have 10 million accidents, a higher percentage is going to die. But the good thing is that percentage is not direct compared to the Delta variant. So there are a lot of more people getting positive. And one thing I always say is there are also a lot of people getting more tested.
You know, yes, okay. That's been really a lot higher than
right.
Previous.
So, you know, I was actually talking to my parents who were down visiting from New York, and I said, you know, the positivity rate is very high. The issue is people are testing, you know, home tests, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if this is more of, if everyone remembers back in 2009 when we had the bad flu epidemic, there were probably millions and millions of people that got flu that year but were never tested,
right?
Because there was no home test. There was no run to the doctor, go stay home for 4 or 5 days, 6 days, 10 days, you got flu, you get better and you go back to work. I kind of disagree what's going on with the government saying, go get tested, go get tested, go get tested. That doesn't mean not to, but if you're around someone with COVID and you start to get sick and you're in that low risk age, a child, an older child, a teenager, healthy 20, 30-year-old, stay home. Stay home for 5 days. And if you're still getting worse, then go into your doctor, okay? Because for the most part, your doctor is not going to put you on any medicine, especially if you're in that low-risk age. Now, the 67-year-old comorbid, yeah, you're going to, like anything else, if a 70-year-old gets flu versus a 70-year-old or versus a 20-year-old that gets flu, your doctor needs to know. But even with this COVID, I got to go get tested. Why? If you're sick, you should not be around anyone anyway. So, I want to get tested so I can go over and visit grandma, okay? Or I want to go visit, No. You're sick. Stay home. If you can quarantine as best you can, depending on your age, stay home. In that fifth to sixth day, if you're getting worse, and like I said, if you're a healthy, you know, young person, I don't believe you should get tested. Save that test for someone that really needs it. Like the 70-year-old that says, hey, I got to know if I have COVID because I need to call my doctor and they need to keep a close eye on me. Running to these urgent cares to get tested just to know you have it when you're sick, I disagree. Mm-hmm. You know, stay home, call your doctor. Most doctors are going to give you a school or work excuse. Hey, I think I have COVID. I've been sick. Okay, this is what you watch out for. And in a few days, if you're not getting better, then go to the ER or go to see your doctor. You know, they're saying, as soon as you get sick, go get tested. No, I don't agree with that. Why? So we know how many people have it out there? Example, if you go back to the flu of 2009 and you had all those home tests, you would have probably seen 80, 100 million people that tested positive for flu that year. Why did we not have that many? Because there was no home tests. So you know, they're saying, oh, go get tested. Meanwhile, there's no tests out there. Well, you know, there's like the rapid tests. I tried to order a couple thousand rapid tests through my distributor, and I'm a doctor's office. I couldn't get it. So now I have patients coming into my office that want to get tested that are sick, and I can't do it. Why? Because, in my opinion, the government's saying, oh, go out and just go to the store and get tested. Is that a necessary test right now? And I don't agree. If you're sick, stay home. If you're getting worse, call your doctor.
Plus, there are a lot of people that are getting tested that have no symptoms.
Right. Well,
they're just getting tested out of curiosity because maybe they were exposed to someone that may have
had
it.
And here's the thing. So a patient will come in and said, oh, I just got exposed and I don't have symptoms. I said, if I test you right now, it may be negative. Even if you're symptomatic on day one or two of your symptoms, you still may be negative. So in the ideal world, if you're going to get tested and you're not too sick, get tested on that fourth or fifth day. Stay home. Try to quarantine if you can. Depends on, you know, if you're a child or what you have to take care of. You know, you can't go to work because you're sick anyway. It doesn't really matter. You know, and so you go get tested on day number one of symptoms or day number two, and you're negative. Oh, okay, I don't have COVID. Great. You don't. But actually on day three, four, or five, you might test positive for COVID. So, you know, example, someone, and this is, you know, it's like anything else. You need to talk to your doctor. Even the health unit, they're testing people. Then I have a family that comes right over to my clinic that day and says, oh, we want to get treatment. I'm like, did the health unit tell you, like, for your children's age, obviously I can't mention their names, mm-hmm. that there's really no treatment for that? Oh, no, they didn't mention that. So people are nervous. It's education.
There's a lot of confusing information
right
out there.
Right. Yeah. You know, and oh, you got to get tested. Why? You see on TV, you see all these lines, people waiting to get tested. Why are they getting tested? If they're sick, okay, and they think they're going to have to go into the hospital, that's a different story. But why are they getting why are they waiting on these lines?
And there's not a lot of social distancing going on in those lines.
You know, just to know it's out there. Yeah, it's out there. Everyone in the United States is going to get COVID. And in the next, I've had people that got more than once. And I am not an infectious disease doctor. This is going to take about 3 to 5 years to kind of get in the community, and then it's going to kind of be like the flu. And hopefully our researchers and our scientists will be able to predict which COVID variant is coming down the road. And just like the flu, we will be able to give a vaccine, okay, safely to prevent. So it will be like almost like a second flu season. And I don't know if it'll be seasonal. I don't know if it'll be all year round. This is a novel virus, so they're really not sure if this is going to come out every fall like the flu, or in the spring, or all year round. I think they'll know in about 3 to 5 years what that seasonal pattern is, because a lot of those viruses, like flu, are seasonal. Okay, yeah. Some can be all year round, but most of them are seasonal, especially, you know, measles, mumps, and those things that were years ago. Those were not seasonal, but those are a different type of virus. This is also this acts more kind of like a common cold. And the common colds usually are in the fall and the winter time, obviously in the northern part of the hemisphere. But I don't think they know right now. I'm sure some very smart scientists and researchers are kind of thinking what they're, and that's probably what I would say is, you know, so it's going to have to run its course. Not to say the vaccines, you know, I'm a big proponent of vaccines for older people and people with medical conditions, even some children with some chronic medical conditions. You know, people ask me all the time, you know, I have a 5.5-year-old son and he's not vaccinated. It was tested on 2,300 children and it has been given to 6 billion people in the world, but those were not all children. So you know, it's hard for me as a physician and a pediatrician and a father to say, hey, you know, my child's not vaccinated. Obviously, there's going to be probably some mandates by the state or the federal government. Who knows? That's, I'm not trying to get political with that. But the issue is well, all these kids are, you know, getting sick now. Like, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds. They are getting sick, but the morbidity and mortality is still low. I mean, they're in the hospital, and the hospitals are getting overwhelmed in some aspects, but they're not dropping dead, okay? And so I think if you're over 25 or 30, and I don't care if you're an Olympic athlete, I think you should probably get the vaccine. But that's my opinion. You need to talk about it, like I've said before, with your doctor. Make it a personal and a family decision with the person that you trust outside of your family, a doctor, a scientist, someone like that. You know, to be pressured to do something that you may not want to do is not what the government should be doing right now, in my opinion. And I'm a big promoter of vaccines. I think vaccines work great. I just think this vaccine has not been out long enough for especially young children.
So that's kind of really, for lack of a better word, an experiment.
Right. Well, it's kind of a war, and we got to, you know, I'm not old enough, but the old days when, you know, the alarm siren went off when it was the big Cold War, you know, what would happen? Children get under the desk in case there's a bomb or a nuclear. Well, that's what they thought was appropriate at that time.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're necessarily experimenting with our children, but is it impacting children that much where there's a potential for a side effect down the road? And I don't think they know enough. And I don't care who the scientist is and who the researcher is. There's one thing they don't know how it affects, including I got the shot and the booster, is how it is going to affect an adult, but even less than a developing young child 5, 10 years from now. You know,
something we're not hearing much about anymore, and that's herd immunity. Has that ship sailed, or is it still something that's in the process, or they just don't want to talk about it?
Well, you know, it's like anything. I wish, I'm not a researcher, but I would imagine they're probably doing studies to say, hey, if you got Delta or you were exposed before and now you get the Omicron, are you getting as sick? Is it the vaccine that's working, or is it your previous exposure? You know, have I not gotten sick from COVID because of the vaccine I got almost a year ago, or was I exposed to the Delta or the regular variant, and then I got exposed to the Omicron, and I didn't get sick, so I didn't test myself or I didn't do my antibodies. So is it the vaccine or is it herd immunity? Okay, so that's like, for example, with the flu shot. When even in 2009, when we had that flu epidemic, I had gotten the flu shot that year. Well, they kind of they didn't get the right variant that year. Okay, so that's why there was a big pandemic. I got pretty sick, and I had to stay home for work for about a week. And I had the flu. I probably did not get as sick because I got the vaccine. Okay, so vaccines and herd immunity can kind of almost work the same. You may not totally get that right variant, but because your immune system is kind of hyped up, it's going to better protect you. But previous infection can also do that also. You know, so I believe that if you were exposed to any of the previous COVID variants and now you get the Omicron, there's probably a better chance that you're going to respond better. But like anything else, if you have a comorbid condition, you're old, your diabetes is not controlled, you're a little overweight like me and have high blood pressure, it's going to have that increased chances of maybe that Omicron, especially if you get a secondary virus or a secondary infection on top of the COVID. And that's the issue. That's a lot of children and young people that get very sick and wind up in the ICU or, God forbid, dying, that are actually perfectly healthy, may have gotten one virus and then another virus and then a bacteria or another virus on top of it. And I think the community and the federal government, besides the COVID vaccine, they're really not, you should be getting the flu shot.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not, you know, if you get flu and COVID and you're a 65-year-old diabetic, it's going to be tough on you. You know, it might be tough on a 20-year-old that's actually perfectly healthy. So I don't know why, if they're almost talking about mandating COVID vaccines, they should be almost in the same breath mandating flu vaccines. And those have been tested for, you know, been around for 40 years, so 35 years. So, you know, that's my opinion.
You're on call with Dr. Michael Ulick. If you want to call up and just ask a question, you don't have to say who you are. Just we're interested in your question, and he'll try to give you an answer. It doesn't have to be COVID-related. Just call us at 377-1244. He's right here. He'll be had to try to provide some information to you, whatever your health concern or health question might be. You know, you're talking about the flu shot years ago when they were really promoted. It was mainly limited. You had to be, well, they recommended it if you were 60 or older, or had a chronic health condition.
Right.
Now, as time has gone by, that's changed. They
right.
want
right.
everyone.
And I think it's
one.
The same kind of rationale with the COVID, in the sense you said, okay, why, you know, when the flu shot for 20, 30 years, they would say, oh, give it to high risk, the very young, the very old, people with comorbid conditions. And then they started about maybe 15 years ago. I think it was before I was a physician. They started recommending that even healthy populations and young people get it. And that was to protect the older people, right? Because if you got the 6-year-old or the 10-year-old that gets flu, that's healthy, they're probably going to do fine. But then they're going to come home from school and give it to grandpa,
yeah,
who's 80, and maybe he's got the flu vaccine, maybe he doesn't. So that was their rationale, is give it to the young people so they don't spread it to the old people. And that's kind of the same rationale yeah. they're trying to do with the COVID vaccine, in my opinion. But the answer is, has that been around, studied enough? And I don't think it has, especially under 12, 13 years of age.
Well, in addition to the Omicron that's making its way around, of course, the flu is making its way around. There's other little, I say not little, but they're cold, I guess, upper respiratory issues. There's been one that's hit me, and it hit a lot. You get like a laryngitis thing.
Mm-hmm.
For about 2 weeks or so, and it kind of lingers after that.
Right, and that's where I think they should really start pushing. Like, we have, and a lot of insurances aren't paying for it now, but, you know, a patient comes in my office and they're sick, three, 4 days of fever or even, and I test them and the COVID test is negative, and they test for parainfluenza virus, which is a Croup B type, which adults can get, which kids can get. Usually the younger you are, it affects you more of a respiratory wise, but it can affect, you know, a young guy like yourself, Jesse.
I didn't have a fever though. I just didn't have a voice.
Right.
Some folks say I still don't.
It kind of causes a croup kind of in adults. And I wish they could use that technology. And obviously I'm a pediatrician. I would love if you went to your doctor and got tested for COVID, also in that panel would be parainfluenza virus, rhinovirus, human metapneumovirus, all these panels that we can test for.
So they could target
exactly
the treatment.
Right.
So, because now you go, well, you could have one of 50 different types.
Right,
just
right,
throw
right.
all kind of stuff at you and hope something sticks.
Right. Know? And so, but you can also say, hey, it's definitely parainfluenza. It's not COVID. It's not flu. You know, I had a girl come in yesterday, and she had aches and body aches and fever, and you know, and here's the whole thing. So she had her parents, or there was some family members that tested positive for COVID, and so I said, okay, so we did a rapid COVID test, and it was negative. But I sent out that PCR, which is that panel. Guess what it came back as? Flu and parainfluenza virus. So when I called her, she was very relieved. You know, I mean, she's young, healthy.
Oh, it's only the flu.
Right,
what a
right,
relief.
Right. But, you know, she
She
was going to school and a college student and working and this and that. And so she was very relieved. You know, you go, for example, what they're doing now, you go get a home test for COVID. Because you're symptomatic. Great. You 2-3 days, you're like, you're doing kind of the right thing. Hey, it seems like, so you're like, oh, I don't have COVID. Well, what do you have? Do you think you can go out there now and you got flu and now you're spreading the flu, right? And then on top of that, okay, you're 70 years old. You got a negative COVID test. You feel better. No, you don't feel better. It's a negative test and you're still feeling achy. Well, you got the flu. You still need, and even though you don't know what you have, oh, thank God I don't have COVID. You still got something. Yeah. And you know, again, that 5 days is key as far as fever, getting worse. And then if you're getting worse, you need to probably go see your doctor and just not go get COVID testing. See, that's the whole thing. You say, okay, maybe I'm going to listen to what Dr. Ulick says. I'm going to stay home for 5 days. I'm going to get my work school excuse quarantine as best I can. And then that sixth day, you're like, hey, I'm still sick, so let me go do a home COVID test. You're negative. You could have the flu, or you could have some other now secondary infection caused by whatever virus you got for the last 5 days that may have not been COVID. And now you're not going to the doctor. Oh, thank God it's not COVID. I don't need to go to the doctor. No, in housing, you probably really need to go to the doctor, because now you're getting worse on that sixth or seventh day, and you convince yourself it's not COVID, so you feel, I mean, you take the test, so you feel better that it's not COVID. What else is going on? And that's where, when people are doing home tests, that's where they can get in trouble, because you don't have the advice of a nurse or a doctor that's telling you, hey, yeah, you don't have COVID on the sixth day. You need to get in and get examined and get treated or go to see your doctor or emergency room or whatever.
Have you heard anything? We only got a couple of minutes. Have you heard anything now? You hear all kinds of stuff and read, but there are some saying that once this Omicron starts to back down, and it will, it's going to take a little time, if there is another one, that it will be even weaker. That things are going to water down, but is that a good sigh of relief? Does this mean no more masks, no more this, no more mandates? We can just deal with it.
I think in general, I think masks are a way to go for the next couple of years. Wow. I really do. In appropriate populations.
Yeah.
Do kids need to have it? I don't think so. Do teachers need to wear them? Yes, they do. They're the older population in that school district. Are we going to wear masks in my office for the next 2 or 3 years? We sure are. You know, all of a sudden, less COVID just disappears. And we've seen that masks actually help prevent other viruses from spreading. So I did want to mention one thing about the schools.
Go right ahead. We got about a
minute. COVID
yeah.
and everything else. If you do test positive or have a close contact, you know, call your school. There are different guidelines for each school. And I think I'm a very smart person, but I don't know what the school guidelines are unless they tell me. And right. So we're trying to keep up to date on the different schools versus elementary, middle and school, and even high schools have all different, even in the same parish, have different guidelines. So just call your school, find out what your guidelines are. And then if you need to get tested or go to your doctor or go get a home test, you know, that's kind of the best thing to do for your children as far as if they need to go to school or not or quarantine.
Right. Well, Doc, we wish we could go over a little bit, but we can't. We got a breakaway for our news at the top of the hour, but we want to thank you for stopping by. Next month, we'll get you here on time.
I'll get on time, I promise.
This has been On Call with Dr. Michael Ulick here on AM 1240.